It's officially 2026, and my New Year's resolution is to prioritize high-quality pieces in my wardrobe. Thanks to Quince, I can already check that off my list. I'm already planning outfits around my new cotton Oxford shirt. It's such a classic, timeless piece that I know I'll be rewearing all year. Need more than just a wardrobe update? Quince has tons of options for the home as well. Maya has had the same dinnerware since college and has finally decided it's time for a refresh, starting with a gorgeous set of ceramic cake plates. Refresh your wardrobe with Quince. Don't wait. Go to quince.com/rehash for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/rehash to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rehash.
We've got straight vibes in this room right now. We have incense going. I bought this gentrified incense for like $15, but it smells really good.
It does smell nice. I have always loved incense so much. When I was a kid, we had this one family that we were friends with, and they always had incense in their house. And I loved it so much. And my parents hate the smell of incense. So whenever I would like light it in my own room, they'd be really annoyed at me. But yeah, going to Kensington Market as a kid, I loved it because everything smelled like incense.
Aww.
Yeah.
My parents always lit incense growing up. Our home was different. I mean, to be fair, we're also Hindu, so that's why. But my parents also went with this kind of like pan-Asian, like inspired decor. It was a different time. And then we always had incense going and like multiple Buddhas around the house. It was a... That's a vibe.
And that was like such a thing, like when we were growing up.
Oh, it was there, such a thing.
There was warehouses.
Yeah. Gentrified incense. And buy it or don't.
Where do you buy gentrified incense?
I get it at the store that's like these overpriced goods. Like, I don't know how to describe it. They'll sell like little key trays and little pots for your plants, but then also like incense and soap. But this incense, it just lasts so long and it smells like sandalwood. So
it smells great. Yeah. I love it. I love a nice smelling apartment. Do you have a plug?
Movie sent me like a free tote for Christmas and I was like, that is so awesome. So I've been carrying it around everywhere because it's just a really nice tote bag. But then I keep having people being like, what is Mubi? And then I'll just start like rolling my ad to them. And they're like, wow, you know a lot about this platform. And I'm like, yeah, I just really like them.
Yeah, you're like, I'm just very familiar with their copy.
I freaking love Mubi. They haven't even sponsored this episode. No. I'll plug them anyway.
Mubi, send me a tote bag.
I'm Maya.
I'm Hannah. And this is Rehash, a podcast about the social media phenomenons that strike a nerve in our culture, only to be quickly forgotten, but we think are due for a revisiting. This season is all about internet archetypes and the many, many lives they've lived. If you like our show and you want to hear more from us, you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/rehashpodcast, where we have monthly bonus episodes, weekly mini episodes, and early access to our regular programming. If you don't want to join the Patreon, feel free to rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, because that helps a lot.
Content warning, this episode features discussions about racially motivated hate crimes and anti-Black racism. If this is something that is particularly sensitive to you, please listen with caution or feel free to skip this one. We totally understand.
And what are we talking about today, Maya?
Karens.
That's right. So unlike some of our past topics in this season, Karen started her life as a meme before taking on like a much more serious connotation, which is sort of a reversal of, you know, topics like gaslight, which we've done, gatekeep even as well.
It's a switcheroo.
A switcheroo. So I'm going to chart out the many stages of Karendom and like the different ideas that have accumulated under the name since its genesis as a meme.
I'm so excited.
So first, we're going to talk about Karen the meme. Listeners at home probably know what a Karen is. They can probably even picture her. How would you describe like the physical traits or characteristics of a Karen?
Karen to me is like a little shorty.
She's short. Okay.
She wears like early 2000s office wear, like tailored towards women, kind of a very tailored blazer. But on her off days, she's wearing like mom sneakers and she's wearing a soft sweater. And she drives a minivan and her hair is that spiky haircut from John and Kate Plus Eight, that like asymmetrical bob that for some reason every hairstylist pushed onto middle-aged women for about a full decade. And then it became a meme in itself.
Yeah, Kate Gosling. Yeah, you got so specific with her attire.
Oh, and I think she carries like a crossbody bag. It's like a light brown leather bag. And she likes collecting like knickknacks. But her house is like very standard landlord chic. Gray laminate flooring, white walls, and like basic interiors, like basic furniture.
So specific about the life of Karen. I was really just looking for that spiky hair guy.
That's just who she is to me, but like there are many types. She comes in many forms.
Yes, I would say, yeah, the typical Karen has the Kate Gosling haircut or like an asymmetrical bob, and she's white, middle class.
Oh yeah, I forgot to say that she's exclusively white.
Yeah, very important. Yeah, the meme suggests like an entitled, bossy, middle-aged white woman who is determined to get what she wants in a situation, often by evoking some kind of like power figure to help her out. Have you encountered this kind of individual in your life at all? You know, as a service worker or just daily life?
Oh, yeah. I actually had this absolutely insane experience. I mean, I've encountered many, but this absolutely insane experience at this restaurant I was working at a few years ago, where this group of middle-aged women came in. I'll try to abbreviate the story as short as possible. Okay. But one of them brought in food from a nearby street market that was going on, and she brought in like a full plate of food into the restaurant and was eating it. And we were like, ma'am, sorry, like you can't really eat outside food in the restaurant. And she was like, excuse me? And from then on, the women just terrorized us. Like, they were talking shit to our faces. They were on a power trip. One of them decided she hated the server, so she only let me put her food in front of her and, like, put her drinks in front of her. She'd, like, snap her fingers at us when we were walking away. They stayed for 2 or 3 hours, and they were the last customers there. And at the end of the night, they brought all their food up to the counter, and they were like, this food is fucking disgusting. And we were like, okay. And they were like, we want it comped. And we're like, we can't do that for you. And they're like, well, we're going to write a report. Like, we're going to report you guys.
To who?
I don't know. To a complaint, I guess. And we were like, okay, go off. And then as they were leaving the restaurant, they were like, we're never coming back here. We're never coming back here. And then they started giving us the finger through the window on their way out. And they were all like middle-aged like moms, all of whom kind of embodied this.
Wow,
this
that
vibe.
Feels like something you would read on Reddit, a story like Karen's from hell dined at my restaurant today.
It was insane. I needed like a full day after that to recover. And it started with the woman who brought in the food. Like, she was on a power trip, but all her friends just kind of enabled it and were like super complicit in the way she was treating us and kind of also did it as well. It was insane. That was like Karen on steroids.
See, I've, you know, worked in the service industry for over 10 years now, and I've definitely had instances, but like none that are sticking out so like obviously in my head. Like, that is a crazy story.
It was kind
have.
Of an exceptional experience.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, when we talk about the Karen meme, I think it makes sense that it blew up and became such a widely accepted archetype, because that woman does exist and people can immediately recognize her. I think anybody who's worked service has had their fair share of interactions with that kind of person. But where did Karen come from as a meme? There are a few different cultural artifacts that have been linked to the creation of the Karen meme. So the first one dates back to 2004, where there was like a Dane Cook special about a friend that like nobody likes, and he uses the name Karen and he like calls her a douchebag and stuff. And then some people mentioned Karen from Mean Girls as a Karen, but I don't really think that she qualifies.
That doesn't, she's might be like the opposite of a Karen.
She's just named Karen.
She's her just name is Karen, yeah. Like in that same breath, you could say Karen from The Office and it still wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. In 2015, comedian Jay Farrow had like a bit about an annoying woman named Karen, and since the meme blew up, he's like taken credit for making the name a joke, but I don't know if it was prolific enough to have amounted to that. In 2017, a Reddit user called Fuck You Karen, fuck underscore you underscore Karen, began posting about his ex-wife stealing his kids and his home, and it would later be given its own subreddit created by a 17-year-old boy. And, like, the boy who made the subreddit thinks that the original guy was also a joke, but once the subreddit blew up, the original poster deleted his account. But, yeah, it would just be stuff about, like, his evil ex-wife, Karen.
I've heard of this, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
And so r/fuckyoukaren, the subreddit, is alive and thriving, and it's still a place where people post their Karen memes and stories. And I went to the subreddit. It's exactly what you're picturing, you know, just really ugly memes. And then in 2018, there was an SNL sketch called Black Jeopardy, in which Chadwick Boseman played his Black Panther character. He's from Wakanda, and the whole joke of the sketch is that he doesn't understand Black American culture until the end, when he's able to surmise that a white woman named Karen would make a bland potato salad. Do you remember when you first came across the idea of a Karen?
I think there were videos that would pop up of women in, like, checkout aisles. I think even, like, maybe as early as Vine, where it'd be, like, a woman in a checkout aisle. But even on Instagram, I think when the algorithm was a bit more not terrible, these videos would start popping up on my Explore page of, like, women checking out at, like, whatever, Walmart or something, and, like, screaming at the people around her and screaming at the cashier. And I think that is kind of when I first started seeing it.
Even if the Karen meme depicts, like, a pretty widely understood type of woman, it's interesting to think about why she was given the name Karen. My grandma asked me this last night when I explained what episode we were recording today. People have their different theories, but according to, like, a New York Times piece on the history of the Karen by Henry Goldblatt, Karen, the name, was its most popular in the 1960s and was the third most popular baby name of 1965 in the United States. So the largest population of women named Karen are in their 50s now.
It's kind of like how every girl our age is named Claire.
Or Hannah. I was very yeah. popular name. Yeah. He also speaks to a linguist named Miriam Eckhart in the article, who says that Karen starts with a voiceless plausive that, you know, that K sound, which she says you can really spit out. And that kind of aligns with the kind of person we are thinking of when we talk about a Karen.
Yeah, kind of this, like, crude verbal violence. Just, like, there's a certain crassness associated with her that's disguised as polite, someone who really values certain manners, but then herself is very crass to begin with.
And you think the name Karen, like, encompasses that?
Kind of, yeah, because it is kind of like an elegant name if you detach it from its connotations, but yeah. Then, like, she's saying with the kind of noise, I don't know if we're really breaking it down here.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little hybrid.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of interesting to think about, like, why that name specifically just, like, sprung into people's minds.
I just also just feel like, yeah, every middle-aged woman is named Karen. It's the same that we don't know anyone our age named Susan or Sharon or Janet.
And yeah, and I think a lot of these names could have ended up being the Karen meme.
But Karen, just, there's something about it.
But she's the girl. What do you think could be the Karen of our generation, name-wise?
Claire. And I love all my Claires. The thing is, Claire's a very gentle name, though. To me, it's very delicate.
Yeah, it doesn't,
delicate.
It's not Claire. It's Claire.
Claire. I've definitely called our Claire that. We have so many Claires, no one would even know who we're referring to. I think Megan.
I'm sorry to my friend Megan.
Ashley.
Any name that you can have, like, these weird spellings that, like, involve a lot of extra letters, I feel like that's become such a meme for girls growing up our age. And it's, like, usually those might be the daughters of women named Karen. Megan has become a joke in and of itself, I think.
Because of the flesh robot.
Oh. What's a flesh robot?
The movie with the AI, the little scary
Megan!
AI.
Megan!
Who has flesh on her.
Oh my god, I thought you were talking about, like, a sex doll.
I know, it's what it sounds like when I say flesh robot, but it's the only thing I can think of when I see a little
AI. She's a robot.
AI. No, but she has flesh. It's weird.
And that one's spelled so crazy, too, because it's spelled Meg3N. People need to start spelling Megan normally. So we should probably look at or talk about some Karen memes. Ooh. As far as the traditional like picture memes go, Karen leaves much to be desired, I will say. They're just like pictures of Kate Gosling or Jenny McCarthy or Taylor Armstrong from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in the woman yells at cat meme.
She doesn't deserve that.
But it will just be that. And then like, Karen wanted this. And now she's asking to speak to the manager. And it's really like, there's
not. And you're like, yeah, that is exactly
like, space to run in that format.
It is just one joke, basically.
Yeah, I was like going to show you pictures under the meme category. But like, you can picture them.
Show me the pictures.
So I just showed Maya some memes from r/fuckyoukaren.
It's interesting because there's only one instance that you can really make fun of with a Karen and actually make light of. And then in every other situation, you can't really make it funny, which is when she talks to the manager.
And I would also say like Karen is more of a character than anything. So she exists more in videos or in like stories that people will post about instances with a Karen type figure. The joke is pretty limited if you're trying to just put it into a singular picture meme. In the early days of Karen's virality, so like 2019 and early 2020, there was some backlash from women who felt the meme was sexist, ageist, and classist. In April of 2020, writer Julie Bindle tweeted, "Does anyone think that the Karen slur is woman-hating and based on class prejudice?" The tweet had 11.2 thousand quote tweets, but only 1,900 likes.
Oh, ratioed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she turned off the quotes and I couldn't see them when I was trying to look at them. But the replies are generally in disagreement with her.
Her calling Karen a slur is the most Karen thing she could possibly do.
I know. It's sort of like a self-own.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people in the replies just like called her Karen.
Jokes.
But there are people that agree with her sentiments. There have been like think pieces by women who express their feelings about Karen. And I just want to be clear, like this is when Karen is just a meme and it doesn't really have as many like serious connotations to it.
Well, and the thing is, it's specific, right? And that's why it's so limited. It's about a specific type of person and a specific type of circumstance that they're in. And facilitates. It is like, okay, if you embody what this specific instance is, then maybe you should just do some self-reflection.
Yes.
So it doesn't really warrant any criticism because if that many people are seeing this type of person out in the world.
But I think the argument that some people have tried to make is that, so this case talking about the Karen as like the middle-aged white lady who wants to talk to the manager or who like is just generally loud and like nagging and complains about things is that, for example, I could say for as many like women that I've had a bad time serving, I've had men that I've also hated serving.
Yeah.
For different reasons. And like, I do think that if we're talking about the specific context of the Karen as the speak to your manager lady, yeah, maybe it's unfair that we're just pointing to women who we already hate when women like voice dissatisfaction in a way that we are way more open to hearing men voice it.
I think obviously men are capable of doing the exact same thing that this type of woman does. The thing is, though, I think it's so much easier for us to think of an instance where a woman is doing this than a man, even though obviously I have experienced men being like, can I speak to the manager? It does feel more prevalent with women. I don't know what the statistics are, obviously, but I do wonder if there is some sort of disproportionate gender thing happening here.
Yeah, I remember learning once in a linguistics course, there was like a study where like both men and women thought that women talked more than men. And then the research showed that men actually just talk more than women. But there's something about, I think, women talking that we are more irked by.
And okay, like, guys, you should go watch the movie Women Talking, which has nothing to do with this, but it's a good movie.
Which is to say, I'm not like letting these people off the hook, I think, especially when people are abusive to minimum wage workers. Like, that's not chill. That's not cool. I'm just saying that I've had very unpleasant experiences with men and women as a service worker. Yeah. And I understand why there are some people who would see this meme, hear about the jokes, and just be like, wow, this is a lazy joke about like women are always nagging everybody. Women are always making commotion.
I don't think that we can, like, I know we're going to get this to this later, but I don't think we can extract the manager stuff from self-victimizing stuff as well. I'm just trying to think of whether or not there might be some gendered element, but also I just wonder if maybe women are more socialized to express emotions in a more outward manner. And so when they're appealing to the manager, they're freaking out at service workers, they're more ready to be emotional in a less controlled way, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's true. I know that there are so many videos of men also having tantrums in Costco or whatever, but I think women's emotions scare people. Yeah. And I just think that they're more willing to throw their emotions out there. And especially this type of woman who has had so much privilege in her life, like she actually can operate with this kind of mentality. I don't know if that's true. This is just what I'm wondering.
No, I mean, I also think the internet likes to hate women more so than it likes to hate men. And again, I'm not victimizing these women either. I'm just saying, like, I think it would make sense that the person that blows up, that we're just all across the board like, yeah, she sucks, is a soccer mom.
Well, we're more eager to throw vitriol at women just in general in the public sphere than we are at men.
Also, if they're mothers, maybe it's all mommy issues. Maybe it's just Freudian.
Maybe. I mean, they do suck, so it's tough.
And then the class stuff that she mentions, it is confusing because I think most people assume that Karen is like middle to upper middle class, because at least in like these memes, it's her mistreatment of service workers and of people she deems below them in like the class scale. So I don't really understand
I don't know where that's coming from either. Yeah. I don't even know. Like, I do think it's upper to middle class women. I think people who aren't upper to middle class can also be a Karen. And I think the age element is like the most prevalent to me, because to me, it's someone who has lived enough years outside of the service industry or has never had to work in it, but either or, who no longer understands or can empathize with the experience of having to serve other people. And so has grown an entitlement over those years as to where their money's going, what they're spending it on, how they should be treated. That is what I associate them with. So to me, it's much more a facet of age. I obviously think there is a class element in terms of them maybe being upper class or like not having had to work in the service industry. But I think someone who worked in it years ago can also easily forget what it's like.
And it's not class prejudice, like this person in their tweet had tried to suggest.
Although, yeah, we're not making fun of lower income women.
When we talk about the viral videos of Karen's a bit later, that is a bit murkier for me, and certain types of videos where I do think that like perhaps class does play in a part, but no, not in this context. What about the ageism part?
Yeah, I mean, this has come up for me a lot when I think of people calling women Karens, especially regardless of context, which we'll get to. But I do feel like older women are very hated in our society. Women who look older, women who look out of date with the trends, and they're kind of shunned in general. And so I think we're ready to apply this to anyone who is a slightly older woman, because we don't want to have to see them. And like, we don't want to have to see them existing in the public sphere. And I'm not saying, like, I do think that the Karen is a specific type of woman, but I do think that there is an age element to it. And again, like I said, I think the age plays into the way that even the actual Karens operate, because they've become more insulated from the outside world in a way. And so their entitlement has kind of grown over the years.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's also a generational divide, right? I think older generations really have these unrealistic standards for how they should be treated in all environments. Like, even if I go into a McDonald's, I should be waited on hand and foot. And it's just something that we don't think anymore. But I think that there is an element to that. I've been talking to, like, you know, older people in my life, a lot of them feel that way. People who have been poor in their lives, but are now older and have lived in comfort for enough years that they just are kind of detached from the reality of what it's like to be poor.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, absolutely. And I agree a lot with what you were saying before. We don't really want as much to do with women as they age, like as a culture. And so if we're already generally more dismissive towards women and like when they express their dissatisfaction with things, and then we add the age element to it, I do think that we're more likely to just be like, okay, this old bat is just going off about something.
We also are kind of living in a time where, you know, enough of us have worked in the service industry that, you know, when I go into places where people are working service, I am like scared and I feel guilty for having even gone in the first place. Because when I was working in service, I was like, oh, this bitch just came into my work. Fuck. And it's like, obviously they came into my work. They're coming to buy a croissant or something, or they're coming to sit down for dinner. And I'm like annoyed that they even showed up. So now I feel guilty for going. And sometimes, like, no, I do find the service is bad, or that people are very rude. And I find a lot of places that I go to, people act like it's a privilege to be there in the first place, because a lot of the places in Toronto are just kind of cloudy and think they're above everyone else. And, you know, and I'll still be like just really feeling so guilty and like apologizing for existing in that space. And I do think that kind of comes to this overarching criticism of Karens and the fact that you don't want to put up a fuss or you don't want to seem dissatisfied. I remember one of our friends got this like really gross meal at a restaurant once and she sent it back to the kitchen. And we were like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. She just did that. I can't believe she did that. But it's like, no, she's actually paying a lot of money for that. And she shouldn't have to eat food that is gross and not what she ordered, you know, but we're just so scared. There needs to be a balance, I think. And I think the Karen meme is kind of skewed that in only one direction.
Yeah, and I would also say like the women who embody this archetype actually are not the ones that are going to be deterred by it, but women who see it and are like, I don't want to be like that. It yeah. is encouraging a sort of, I would say, like passivity within us. I don't want to be rude to service workers. I am very nice to service workers.
I feel like we end up having to do a lot of apologizing for these people, which is annoying.
It's annoying. I mean, like, overall, I don't mind just being, like, overly nice to service workers because whatever.
But I don't like not being able to speak up for when, you know, I do feel like I'm not being treated well.
For sure.
You know, there needs to be, like, a line.
I feel like it's so easy for a woman to seem rude. It's like the minute you say something, you're suddenly rude instead of just being candid about what's upsetting you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I used to feel more critical of the Karen meme like in its earlier days for a lot of the reasons we've discussed, but that changed as like the meme itself changed. So in the late 2010s, there was this trend of like videos that kept going viral of middle-aged white women calling the cops on black people for doing incredibly mundane things like barbecues, being in their own neighborhood, etc. And the women in these videos would often be given these names with some kind of alliteration in them. So we had Permit Patty, who was the woman that infamously called the cops on a little black girl and her mother for selling water bottles on her street. And then before that was BBQ Becky, who called the cops on a group of black people having a barbecue. And I guess this trend, as is like always the case, became watered down because it went from being specifically videos of white women having like these racist fits and like calling the cops to videos of like white women just having fits. Like there became this big trend of like white lady freak out videos. And this is where I first found like the big instance of Karen being used like in these types of videos. So in 2019, there was Kids Bop Karen, a woman who, after a driving mishap, stopped in the middle of the road and stuck her head in the window of the other car involved. It's a minute-long clip without the context of the rest of the conversation between her and the woman filming. She's mad because the woman told her to calm down, and she's making some, like, faces and being a little erratic. And she calls the woman a bitch, but says it's okay because her kids are listening to Kids Bop and can't hear her. I'm gonna show you the video.
It's my fault.
It is your fault.
Yeah, I know it's my fault. That's why I'm saying sorry.
She thinks it's cute that her driver almost hit my kids, and she thinks she needs to take a video of it instead of apologizing like a saint.
So stopping in the middle of the road is gonna help?
You being a bitch is gonna help?
I didn't say anything.
I don't know. Calm down. Calm down.
It's okay. I'm sorry.
My kids can't hear me calling you a bitch.
Your window's open.
They can't hear me because they're listening to Kids Bop. Attitude
it's
sucks
okay.
dick.
Like, she actually looks so unhinged. She shoves her head in the car window and she's like, I don't know, a caricature. She just doesn't sound like a real human being. What really defines this type of Karen is an invasion of personal space.
Yeah.
They really tend to get up in people's faces. And this feels like one, like, to shove your head into someone's car. First of all, it's scary. And also, she looks scary in it. She has these, like, crazy eyes that she's really just, like, staring them down. But also, it's just, like, trespassing other people's personal boundaries, basically.
Yeah. I have like complicated feelings about the video, honestly. I am not looking at it as Karen's overall. I'm just looking at it in this specific instance with this woman. I do think she is acting incredibly erratic. Yeah. And like, it is a lot. I don't know the context of the car, like who was at fault, anything like that. And like, yeah, it's probably not the appropriate way to deal with that situation at all. But I can also imagine, like, if you're driving your kids in a car, and like something happens that, I don't know, a car almost hits them or whatever happened, having like a sort of panic response.
Mama bear reaction.
I guess.
Let me tell you, the amount of fights my dad has gotten into with people in other cars because of certain, you know, whatever indiscretions that they make. It has happened often. Do I like it? No. Does my mom like it? No. It's very stressful. So maybe she's just doing that. But she is behaving like a psycho.
She is. But it's sort of this like...
And she also does call them names, which is also not
okay. Yeah, she calls her a bitch. It's not nice. For me, it's more just, if you look up Karen's videos, it's mostly like these types of videos, right? Like these big freakouts,
parking lot situations. It is where all of society's ills go down. I think the situation's hard because, yeah, we don't know what the initial context was of what they did. I don't really know, like, I wasn't there, but I do think what defines the Karen overall is her willingness to escalate what is a pretty mundane situation and her willingness to do it with minorities.
Yeah.
Just to go back to Real Housewives one more time, because we constantly talk about this. Dorit on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she is pretty mild-mannered, like, most of the time during the series. Like, she doesn't yell very much. She doesn't swear. But the times that she has really lost it are when she's speaking to Garcelle and Crystal, both of whom are BIPOC women. And it'll be over very mundane arguments. She'll just start screaming at them. And a lot of people have noted her willingness to just escalate an argument with them that she is not willing to do with the other women. Which is why I don't think that it's good to conflate all of these situations together. But I do think it is pointing to this overarching issue of, like, white women's entitlement. Mm-hmm. Again, with the gender thing, I don't know, because I think white men are also very willing to do those things as well. But I do think that that's what it's pointing to, even in these more mundane situations that don't involve, you know, someone getting severely harmed in the process.
No, for sure. And I mean, like, even though, because there were still videos of this nature that were capturing racist behavior, and, you know, the Karen meme was really taking off after this, I think this is how, like, racism became a larger part of how we began to characterize the Karen. So Karen, as a shorthand for a certain kind of racist white lady, which came about more so in the spring, summer of 2020, that is rooted in another archetype which has existed long before the internet. So I got a lot of this information from the podcast Code Switch, which did an episode on Karens back in 2020. In the episode, they speak to University of Virginia Media Studies professor Meredith Clark, who makes the connection between Karens and Miss Anne. So during the Jim Crow era, there were certain social codes imposed on Black people when they interacted with white people. One of which was the expectation that they refer to white men and women with Mr. and Miss in front of their names as like a show of respect. So the phrase Miss Anne was then used amongst Black people to refer to a specific kind of white woman who weaponized her position in society against Black people, reinforcing their positions in society. Because a lot of white women during this time had Black household staff, this was an avenue for them to institute their societal power. And so then another way that white women have always been able to reinforce their positioning in society is through reliance on white men and governing bodies and, like, institutions of power. Of course, a famous example of this is the Emmett Till case. We spoke about it previously on the Lindsay Ellis episode, just briefly, in regards to the idea of white woman victimhood. But to kind of give, like, a refresh on the case, in 1955, teenager Emmett Till was kidnapped and murdered by Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam. A few days earlier, Emmett had gone to Bryant's grocery store with a group of kids where it's alleged that he whistled at Bryant's wife, Carolyn. Carolyn claims that Emmett grabbed her and made ugly remarks, but no witnesses can corroborate that claim. Regardless, none of her accusations would warrant any of the subsequent crimes that occurred, obviously. So Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam were brought to trial in September of that year, but would be quickly acquitted of murder and later kidnapping. Their jury was made up of 12 white men. Both men would later admit to the crimes in a magazine article. I bring this case up because it's one of the most famous instances of the perceived helplessness and innocence of white women being used to justify violence against Black people. And institutions of power have long prioritized the comfort of white women over actual Black lives. This isn't news. But it's just relevant when we talk about the later incarnation of Karen.
The Emmett Till situation is very extreme. but is also very much emblematic of this larger social issue at play, where white women are able to wield this kind of like soft power and appeal to the patriarchy in a way that it actually benefits them in yeah. some way, and in doing so elicits harm against, in this case, a fucking child.
Yeah, and it's a devastating case, as we know, and as we're going to talk about, it is a pattern of behavior that has been passed on through generations of white women as a way that we like operate throughout the world, and the way that we've been taught to like look to people who can like
save us,
yeah, and like enact power and like cause harm on our behalfs. May 25th, 2020, two things happened that basically every piece I've read on the history of the Karens agrees, like, changed what the name and the meme meant. The first was Amy Cooper calling the cops on birdwatcher Chris Cooper in Central Park after he told her to put her dog on a leash in an area of the park where that was required. Amy Cooper says to Chris Cooper, who is recording her, that she is going to call the cops and tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life. The video went viral and Cooper was labeled Central Park Karen. I'm sure you've seen the video.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. She's acting like an absolute demon.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
I'm taking a picture and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
I'm sorry, I'm in the ramble, and there is a man, African-American, who has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African-American man, I am in Central Park. He is recording me and threatening myself and my dog. And my... I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
Just the way that she is like breathing so heavily. He's like nowhere near her and she's actually inching towards him. And the way she just highlights African American man is so insidious and disgusting.
Oh yeah, she knows exactly what she's doing.
But then there's also a level of like unself-awareness too. It's so bizarre. She knows what she's doing in terms of weaponizing, but then she's so unself-aware of like how she looks in the way that she's literally choking her dog while at the exact same moment saying that this man is threatening her dog. Her dog is like squealing because she's choking it with the collar.
Yeah, and she's on camera too, and it's just the weird self-awareness of like, you know you're on camera, but you're also putting on this like thing while you're on the phone, this voice and this panic. It's just crazy.
Well, it just really speaks to the way that white people have just inherited through generations this insane, the only word I can think of is privilege. It just breeds this sort of entitlement where they feel like completely cocooned against any sort of consequences to their actions. So like, she knows she's on camera, but she doesn't fucking care because she knows realistically nothing will come of it, which she was wrong for once.
She was also in the wrong in the situation. Like, her dog was supposed to be on a leash.
I don't know. I guess she just doesn't know how to use one, which is why she didn't put one on the dog.
Yeah. And so later that day was the murder of George Floyd by police, also went viral. Floyd's death, along with a number of other killings of unarmed black people by the police, sparked a wave of mass protests across the United States in 2020. And Floyd's murder occurring so quickly after the incident with Amy Cooper made it very clear the immense harm that could have been done in that situation with her, right? It's sort of just cemented in people's mind, I think, like the very, very real consequences of that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm. And just calling the cops, yeah. Black people in general, yeah.
And so Asia Romano for Vox, who wrote two pieces on the Karens before and after these incidents, explaining like, you know, first it was just about the meme and then it was about how it became a symbol of racism. She wrote, Amy Cooper wasn't the first white woman to weaponize her privilege against a black man. Far from it. But the conjunction of the Central Park murder incident and Floyd's killing viscerally and undeniably placed the entitlement of white women on a spectrum of racist violence with police brutality. And, handily, there was already a meme moniker for just that sort of entitled white woman. I mean, she was already being called Central Park Karen. It just sort of cemented everything, right? So the Central Park Karen and the original Speak to Your Manager Karen align in the ways that they both look to those in positions of power to maintain their own positions, like we've said. And it's helpful in some ways to have a shorthand for women who behave the way that Amy Cooper did. And the wave of public shaming against her and others like her hopefully encouraged some white women to challenge their own patterns of behavior. San Francisco Board of Supervisors member Shaman Walton introduced the Karen Act in 2020. Karen is spelled with a C here, and it's an acronym for Caution Against Racially Exploitative Non-Emergencies.
Whoa, okay, that is so impressive that they made a full acronym out of this name.
Yeah.
I mean, they did have to change the K, but still good.
It gets the point across. And this act makes it punishable to make fake 911 reports for the sake of racial profiling. Laws similar to this have been passed in municipalities across the U.S. The use of Karen as a name like definitely brought attention to the bill, although Walton did not want to comment further on Karen as the name. Like we talked about in Gaslight in regards to emotional abuse, having something which symbolizes a negative phenomenon might help normalize further discourse about it. It might encourage, you know, internal reflection and make it easier to call it out as you see it happen. Do you agree with this?
Yeah, I think with this specific instance, I guess it does help to put a name to the sort of person. I wish that instead, though, there was a name just for the action of it rather than the person doing it. Like, I wish that there was a name for white people calling the calls on black people instead of just coming up with a word for one singular type of person who does it, because it's like it limits the scope of people who are willing to do that, which there is a very wide scope of people who are probably willing to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sometimes people will say this male Karen.
It's like, okay, well then maybe just come up with a new name.
It's also, you know, maybe it's not encouraging reflection. Yeah. Against like all demographics of white people for their own behavior that like mirrors this. And also, like we talked about in Gaslight, like there is danger in using buzzwords or memes to represent incredibly serious and complicated issues, because even as Karen took on this new meaning during the BLM protests, the Speak to Your Manager meme is still going strong, as you saw in the r/fuck you Karen Reddit, right?
Yeah. And it's also kind of like, okay, now Karen is kind of a funny thing that we all laugh at on the internet. But these situations are not funny at all. Like, these specific instances are fucking horrific and horrible. And so the fact that it's conflated with this kind of joke on the internet. And like, yeah, obviously it's not nice to yell at service people and belittle them and, you know, verbally abuse them. But it's not the same thing.
No.
Even if that same type of person would probably do this kind of thing to minorities, it's not the same instance. You know what I mean?
No, but exactly. If you look at Karen compilation pages on TikTok and stuff, you see a mix of people who are being typical Karens. You also see videos of women who are like clearly mentally unwell, just being filmed having freakouts. And then there are these videos of women being blatantly and terribly racist. And they're all mixed together under Karen videos. And yeah, I do think like it conflates very different types of behavior and minimizes the harm by the last category that I mentioned. Yeah.
Or I think, you know, the behavior can be the same, but the consequences are different.
Yeah, I mean, like you might yell at a service worker and like maybe they'll get in trouble with their manager and that's terrible, but it's just not the same as calling cops or security on a black person who's like in your building and you're freaking out about it, which is what a lot of these videos end up being. It's also like unsurprisingly, like a lot of white people and white men who seem to take a lot of joy from owning Karens. And it sort of just like exploits then black trauma for content, because you're mixing it in there. You're putting it in your compilation amongst just like women who are having a tantrum on an airplane.
You know, obviously there is a huge benefit to having these types of videos go viral to like let the world know what is happening to black people in the United States. The George Floyd video went viral. The Eric Garner video went viral. So many of these videos are going viral. They're horrific to watch, but they have also helped in garnering a huge amount of backlash towards, you know, the police. But then when sometimes those types of videos or those genres of videos get amalgamated into these like compilations and put into these like playlists of bad behavior from white women all across the board, it yeah, like you were saying, it really minimizes things. Like my nieces watch Karen comps. Like I'll go to their house and they'll be like, do you want to see something? And then they'll pull up their little iPad and show me just like these Karen comps. And sometimes I'm just kind of like, damn, I want them to see this kind of stuff. But for them to just be sitting in their rooms watching like endless compilations of just like white ladies yelling at people, I don't know. It's just kind of bizarre. And a lot of the time, not funny. It's not the same as watching Vine comps of someone like falling off a trampoline or something. It's not the same thing. So to compilation all of these, I think it's good to make fun of someone who causes harm because it really takes away their power. Like I think it is important to laugh at people who wield power in society and oppress others. But at the same time, I don't know if these compilations are necessarily, I think they're tone deaf sometimes.
Absolutely. It's no longer really about like spreading a message or an awareness when it gets to that point. It's just about
poning people
and like just churning out content. And then what I will say is that in some of the videos that like I've seen under Karen freakouts, it seems like it's not really a woman that embodies like the Karen stereotype at all. It's like women who seem to be having like mental health episodes and crises, maybe yelling at people who work in a store, but it's like not because they're entitled, it's because they're like actually unwell,
like mentally ill. Yeah. And like the amount of mentally unwell men who would come into the places I worked and would, you know, have episodes, and it would be really sad. The thought of them being put in a compilation where people make fun of it is insane. So the fact that like women, mentally ill women who are having these episodes in public becoming memes and like, you know, dehumanized in that kind of way.
Yeah.
Is just a little scary.
Because I honestly think that when it comes to people like, you know, the Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky stuff, like that is one of those instances where I'm like, yeah, public shaming is okay. Amy Cooper, public shaming, okay.
Oh, of course.
But then when it gets to just like citizens who are just like having like, this is not them in their best moments, it just becomes this thing where we're basically just shaming any kind of disruptive behavior.
And shaming any sort of emotional
irregularity. The two get jumbled and like the actually important stuff gets lost in the sauce.
Someone having an emotional outburst in public that they have difficulty controlling and then it like erupts is very different from like the calculated emotional like white woman tears basically that are happening in these other Karen videos. Like it's just not, they're very different because one is a conscious choice. One is someone who is aware that they're being filmed also and continues to behave in that way. And another is often people who aren't aware that they're being filmed, who can't control whatever this outburst is. There's a huge division between those two things.
Totally. I mean, like Amy Cooper, you see that woman is very lucid in what she's doing. I once worked for one day at this company that is basically like a content farm where they make these like YouTube comp videos where they're like top 10, whatever. And I was really desperate for a job. And then I was like, this will suck my soul out. I literally can't work here. And I didn't work on any like Karen videos. Like I wrote a different video for them, but I think they did have me do like a thumbnail where you basically just look up like the craziest picture. Like you look up Karen, it's irrelevant to the videos and the actual story, and you just plop it on there. And there are offices of millennials probably all over this earth, like basically doing that all day as their job.
Yeah, like harvesting images and sound bites for this like really cheaply made video.
Video clips. Yeah. And like that is a whole just like soulless industry.
Yeah, it has become an industry, which is so insane.
So just wrapping things up, have you heard of Karen's Diner?
No, what is it?
It's a pop-up that opened in Australia back in 2021, of course, by two white men, where it was, I think, supposed to be like a viral sensation. And the joke is that like all the servers are called Karen and they're rude to you and you're rude to them. I actually think your nieces told us about them.
Oh, my nieces are obsessed with Karen's. I mean, there were a lot of diners I went to as a kid that were just these like seedy diners where the staff did yell at you and that was the culture of going there. But we didn't yell back. We just kind of took it because the food was good.
Yeah, I can show you. I'll show you a video of how they operate.
Yeah, we just watched a video from Karen's Diner. And one, the behavior of the service staff isn't Karen behavior. It's just like a kind of like mean ladies yelling at you, but it's not in a Karen way. Like, it's just people being rude. And she's, like, swearing at the kids who go in. But the kids are like, yay, she sweared at me. Like, it's just so stupid. I also just hate anything that's created for, like, a viral sensation because usually the food is going to be fucking terrible. And also, like, it has nothing to do with the actual experience of, like, eating there.
No, it's exactly. And also, it's kind of, like, the whole point of a Karen, at least, because this is a play on the original Karen meme, right? They're not touching anything that happened in 2020. It's like, she's just a mean lady. But even then, the point of the original Karen is that she's rude to service workers.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It makes absolutely
Maybe it's no cathartic sense. For the workers to, like, yell at random children who come into the restaurant to, like, take TikTok videos, but that just quite literally is so divorced from what the actual meaning is. I mean, we've gone to a point where, like, it's become a thing where now it's being co-opted by the right, and, like, we're gonna see this pattern with different words that we're talking about in this season, but it's become co-opted by the right where now I see right-wing people on Twitter and, like, online, and I swear to you on Fox News, calling anyone who is annoying a Karen, like someone who they personally find annoying, like some, or they, I've seen them call, like, woke people Karens. It's just become, like, a shorthand for, like, someone who annoys you or someone you disagree with. I'm not kidding. And I've seen it all over the internet. And, like, that is quite literally what it's evolved into. It's become a thing where you're kind of like, nice Karen to really anyone. Like, the word doesn't even mean a specific person at this point. It can literally mean anyone who is annoying. And it's like, that is so far removed from the purpose of this meme and the word.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all that the right wing is, like, co-opting that word. I mean, they quite literally do it with every word. And I feel like maybe it's a tactic of theirs to, like, take any word that can be put against them and just, you know, appropriate it. But
yeah, it's like when you're a child and someone says something and you just repeat what they say. And then you just keep repeating it until they get fed up and walk away. It's like basically that kind of thing. But it is scary because it's a word used to criticize. You know, you can be on any side of the political spectrum and still act like a Karen. But, you know, it's kind of like, I'm sure there's a healthy amount of Republican women out there who are treating people poorly in public and being racist towards Black people. But now those types of people are just calling other people Karens.
Oh, for sure. And I think, like, you know, sometimes Karen is also characterized as, like, anti-vax and pro-Trump and all of that stuff as well. So, yeah, it is funny because I do think when we picture her, she's generally a Republican.
Yeah, but she could be a Democrat. I mean, there's no it sees no political binary.
Yes, absolutely.
But
yeah, and the thing is, it's like, it's weird because Karen started off less serious, became more serious, and I do think that there's sort of this almost erasing of the last few years and bringing it back to, like, its less serious
origins,
or maybe it's just become so
oversaturated,
but also flooded with the kinds of, like, Karen owning comps and, like, that kind of thing, that the more important purposes, I guess, of the meme or of the, like, archetype have become drowned out.
I guess, like, every single other word in this season, Karen doesn't mean what it's supposed to mean anymore.
I do wonder, like, if since the height of the Black Lives Matter protests are a few years behind us now, if this is white people's way of returning to quote-unquote normal, like, Karen, a meme which was politicized, they're depoliticizing it again. It's people who are like, oh, well, let's not, like, really harp on the part of the Karen meme that makes us uncomfortable. Let's just make it about annoying soccer moms again, because that's easier for white people to digest.
Like we were saying with the right co-opting it, like, the dilution of the term has kind of benefited. It's kind of obfuscated the purpose of it, which does benefit the people who have done the obfuscation. Like, they don't have to be widely criticized for their actions because the word doesn't mean anything anymore, so it doesn't have to apply to them.
Yeah.
Or they can be like, well, it's not me, it's you.
And then they get to just, like, enjoy their owning videos in peace, I guess, and not have to, like, think
critically about the structures of race in the US.
Yeah.
Guys, think critically. Well, this is us signing off on another episode. I don't know.
You know, Karen.
Rehash is hosted by Hannah Rain and me, Maia. It's produced and edited by me, and the intro and outro song is produced by our talented friend, Ian Mills. Thanks for listening.